Greetings this morning, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Good to see you all. God bless you for coming and being here. And there is a real sense that coming and being present has value. I was thinking about that this morning. So we get together. I thought maybe I would just share a little bit with you as a congregation. We have faced things at home that were what I call a crisis. Especially thinking about the time that my brother-in-law Jariah returned from Haiti. Our congregation was thrust into the limelight of the Anabaptist world with a good bit of animosity. And then we have a decision what we're going to do with that, how we're going to respond. And you feel like, it feels like the whole world is gathering around looking at you. While your hearts are hurting. Well, it feels like we're under assault spiritually. Of course, my mind went to the things where you do think about what is everybody else going to say? What are they going to think? How are they going to view us? For me, it was a little bit more personal because it was my brother-in-law. So it was also family. And the need to just simply bow our hearts. In a sense, embrace it. Say, you know, we're not some super spiritual people. And I accept this. And yeah, we've endeavored to live for God. We've endeavored to reach out and help other people, be a blessing to other people. Endeavor to be an example. And yet the question can be asked, will we ever live this down? Let me just tell you, you don't have to live it down. You don't have to live it down. Verses like Psalm 46 verse 1 says, God is our refuge and our strength. It says he's a very present help in time of trouble. A very present help. We need that help. And he is there for us. My mind also went to the verses in 1 Peter chapter 5. It starts in talking to the elders among you. I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and shall also be partakers of the glory that shall be revealed. He says, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither is being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Then he says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Ye all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, giveth grace unto the humble. He says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. We found times like this is a good opportunity to just humble our hearts. Humble our hearts. It says, be subject one to another. Be clothed with humility. Children's lesson, Aaron was talking about clothes. And you know, what does clothes of humility look like? Clothes of humility. And I'm going to say it's not about what shirt I have on. But the clothes of humility start in a heart. What our attitude is, what our response is. And it comes forward in our spirit. In Timothy, Paul tells Timothy to be an example in spirit. And we simply lay down, I, me, myself, our reputation. We surrender it and say, I'm willing to give all that up. I'm willing to be that lowly person. That lowly person. You know, when people hear my name, Paul Hirschberger, what do they think about? When they hear the Mass family, what do they think about? I will never unload that. Am I okay with that? It's all right. Just embrace it. Put on a mind of humility. In verse 6 he says, humble yourselves. There is a scripture that talks about the Lord humbling us, and he says he's going to grind us to powder. It is much better if we make the decision that I'm going to just humble myself. It's actually a decision we can make. Humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. That's completely his choosing. It may never be here. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren which are in the world. And I would like to tie this together with what Brother Mark shared in Brothers' Meeting last evening about rebuking an elder before all so that others may fear. It should bring a little bit of a trembling in our hearts. There is an adversary walking about seeking whom he may devour. It's a good time for us to just take that and say, this is true. And this applies to me. And I'm going to take it seriously and soberly. Just throw yourself upon the Lord. So I did bring a message that I shared a couple weeks ago at home. that I felt like could be a blessing here this morning. And I'd like to attempt sharing here on it. Do you have... this what you use? Fellow companions, I had a message probably 6 weeks ago at home on the fellowship of the Spirit and what happens as a church gets together and our hearts connect, spirits get connect, and there's a building that happens. And as children of God, we experience that. And it actually is something that should draw us and bring us together. After that message, it just really felt like, okay, there was a whole section that was left unsaid. So it was sort of like starting over on a message that I thought I had shared already. So I'm not going to be talking about the fellowship of the Spirit here this morning, and yet, in a sense, you could say it's saying the same things. Fellow companions, can you tell me, in your minds, what does fellow mean? Maybe we should start with companions. What does companions mean? Yes. Two or more people that are close. Okay, that's good. Someone else. Those we keep company with. That's good. That's good. What does fellow mean? Companying together. It can mean that fellow right there that just talked, but that's not what this is talking about. Fellow, companying together, companions, in a sense, both words are saying something very similar. So the message, fellow companions. So as I was preparing for this, I was searching for some things that would maybe start describing it a little bit. And one of the first things that I have here is an old Jewish proverb that says, a friend is one who warns you. A friend is one who warns you. And as I thought about that, it's like, so now, I think it's important for us to realize that it's not criticism, but it rather is one who warns you. Ones who will take maybe the truth of the Word of God and say, well, you know, this is what the Bible says here. A friend is one who warns you. A friend is a person who does his knocking before he enters instead of after he leaves. Let me say that again. A friend is one who does his knocking before he enters rather than after he leaves. Fellow companions. Then I found some important words for getting along with people. Important words for getting along with people. And I don't know if you're taking notes or not. I'm going to try to go slow enough that you can write them down. But it starts at 6 and goes backwards. So the 6 most important words are, I admit I made a mistake. I admit that I made a mistake. the five most important words. You did a good job. You did a good job. The four most important words. What do you think? What do you think? The three most important words. After you, please. After you, please. Now we get down to the two most important words. Does anybody have an idea what it may be?
I'm sorry.
That came up at home. That's a good one. But it's a different one. We can, huh? Well, that's three. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So these aren't the only important words. We discovered that here. Thank you. The one most important word with getting along with people. Well, that's a good one. We're trying hard on that one. And it's not included here. We're talking about fellow companions. We. And those are all good words. And I'm glad I'm asking for them because you hear more that way. Now let's. What is the least important word? I. I is the least important word. So now let's go on a little bit about fellow companions. Psalm 119:63 says, "I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts." This word companion in the Hebrew means associates. So the definition we were giving here was good. Associates. Proverbs 13:20 says, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion, an associate of fools shall be destroyed." A companion of fools shall be destroyed. Now in Revelation 1:9, we have the word companion in the New Testament. Says, "I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation." This word companion means co-participant. Co-participant. And as we continue on through, we're going to look at different fellows. I think it's seven here, if I remember right. Different fellow. Here we have co-participant. But that word co is going to keep coming up. And if there's one message that we can get out of this today, I want you to get is the co. It's coming together. Co. Fellow companions. Co. And as I think about us as a church here right now, the need for us to draw our hearts together in this co thing, it's always important, but right now it's really important to have co where we connect together. I, John, who also am your brother and companion, co-participant in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos, and he was there for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. So, he was a co-participant of tribulation. You know, you think about the Apostle John being on the Isle of Patmos, and he says he's in co-tribulation. Well, I thought he's the one leading the way. But he viewed it as something together. We see humility here on his part. He doesn't view himself as a chief, but as a co-participant. Being willing to have tribulation in our lives for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 34 and 35. is also companions. This word means a sharer or an associate. This is in the New Testament. He says, partly whilst ye became a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. So they became a gazing stock because of their faith. A gazing stock. Suffered reproaches, suffered afflictions, and they made themselves companions of people that were used that way. They were willing to associate with them. They were willing to share in the affliction of the gospel. He says, for ye had compassion of me and my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and a more and an enduring substance. So this reproach and affliction went to the point of spoiling their goods. There was strong resistance, but they became companions, fellow companions. They made themselves a part of it. And this is a decision they made. They chose to be a part of it. Now I'd like to read in Philippians chapter 2. This just sort of gives a fellow companion picture. Philippians chapter 2. And I'd like to read from verse 19 to verse 30. Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 19, says, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your estate. So there's a sense of fellow companionship that shows up here as Paul is writing to the Philippians. But right off here in verse 19, we see that Paul is sending Timothy, to them as his companion. He's sending Timothy. He says, I have no man that is like-minded who will naturally care for your state like Timothy. But Timothy was his companion, his fellow companion in caring for the churches. Verse 21, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel. What a picture of fellow companion. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. Epaphroditus had come from Philippi to see Paul, to actually bring him an offering, it appears like, and to meet his needs, that is something to live off of. And then he was there and served with Paul, was a fellow soldier, companion in labor, but he came from Philippi. Fellow companions, says, for he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because he heard that he'd been sick, for indeed he was sick, nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I send him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. You see, fellow companion, working together from one to the other. It's like, oh, if we could live that life. And we can. So now, number one, I'm going to go down through and just look at different ones. The first one is fellow disciples. Fellow disciples. And I'm going to take the scripture in John 11, verse 14 through 16. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, and unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. And the story continues there, the situation. But the fellow disciples here, let us also go that we may die with him. But there was a group of fellow disciples. This word fellow disciples simply means co-learners. Co-learners. And this word co is going to keep coming up. Co-learners. So as we look at fellow disciples in a brotherhood, in a congregation, and we're together as co-learners, we don't have a heart and attitude of this stacked tier that, you know, some are better than others, but we're here together. We're here learning together. We put on a posture of a student together. We're co-learners, fellow disciples. And it makes fellowship, fellow companions. Number two, fellow citizens. Fellow citizens. And there is a real sense, as you look at citizenship, that it can be, and it does mean a native of the same town. And we would relate to that as being fellow citizens nationally. We understand that. But this is talking about fellow citizens in the body of Christ. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 to 22. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 says, Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners. And when we look at strangers and foreigners, we understand that here in our nation. Strangers and foreigners. But you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints. Fellow citizens with the saints. This is talking about in the church. We're not strangers and foreigners in the church, but fellow citizens with the saints. The saints are those that have been redeemed and washed in the blood of Jesus. They've been cleansed through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, purged, made whole. The saints. And it says we are fellow citizens. Fellow citizens. And in the definition, it says co-religionists or fellow Christians. But it's again this word co coming together. Fellow citizens in Jesus Christ, in the body of Christ. And in a local body, we're fellow citizens. There's a kinship, a connecting of hearts, a blending together. In the midst of all this, there's times that we need to choose to humble ourselves. And we choose to humble ourselves. Number three is fellow heirs. Fellow heirs. And I'm going to first turn to Ephesians chapter 3. It's just a page over from the last one. Fellow heirs. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 5 through 7. which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Then he says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. So the Jews, they had the citizenship of the people of God. And they viewed it that way. It was a really strong us and them thing happening there. But now, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs of the grace of God. Fellow heirs of the gospel of Christ. And it means co-heirs. 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 Participant in common. Then Romans chapter 8, verse 16 and 17, it talks about being heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. There's the citizenship. And if children, then heirs of God. If we really are citizens of Christ, of the body of Christ, then we become heirs of God. We literally become joint heirs with Christ. Joined heirs with Christ, if so be that ye have suffered with him, that ye may be also glorified together. And this thing of becoming joined heirs, he's got a little bit of a condition here, and that is that we're willing to suffer for his name. We're willing to take on Christ. And if there's a reproach that comes because of it, we embrace it. We embrace it. And let me just say this. As we look at confession of sin, we can feel very ashamed of confession of sin. But in the Church of Jesus Christ, we embrace that. We embrace that. That's how we find freedom. That's how we find freedom. If we want to have citizenship with Christ and be joint heirs with Christ, fellow heirs of the grace of God, of the gospel of Jesus Christ, then this is the route to it, and we embrace it. If there are things that we have in a closet and we're ashamed to talk about it, I want to say I invite you, but I plead with you. Make the decision that I'm willing to suffer shame for Jesus Christ, and I'm going to open my life and be completely transparent. Then I can be an heir of God, a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Number four, fellow helpers and laborers. Fellow helpers and laborers. So we find this used, fellow helper and fellow laborer, but they are the same Greek word. The first one, I have several scriptures here for this. The first one is 2 Corinthians 8, verse 23. Wherefore, whether any do inquire of Titus, he's my partner and fellow laborer concerning you, and our brethren be required of, they are the messengers of the churches in the glory of Christ. Fellow helper. Then also, 3 John, verse 5 and 8. Beloved, thou dost faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after godly sword, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles, we therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. and it means co-labors. Co-labors, our fellow helpers. So now, we are citizens in the body of Christ, joint heirs with Christ, and now we need to become fellow laborers. Co-labors. And it literally means we are going to work and labor together. Together. 1 Thessalonians 3, 1 through 3. Wherefore, when ye could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone. And I sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereto, a fellow laborer. Then I also have Philippians chapter 4, verse 3. I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. So we see fellow helpers and fellow laborers working together as co-laborers. Now in Philippians chapter 4, verse 3, this word yoke fellow means co-yoked. Co-yoked. As we're fellow laborers, fellow helpers together, we get the picture of a yoke. There's a scripture that says we should be yoked with Christ. And that's true. This one is talking about us being yoked together, where we get into the yoke beside each other with Christ. But now, it's easy for us to say, well, I'm yoked with Christ. First, John 4 talks about, we say we love God, but I don't love my brother. I have a hard time with him. We just have a hard time getting along. And we're like, I know horses, I don't know oxen. The yoke goes to oxen. But if they're doing this while they're trying to pull back and forth, when one's forward, the other one's back, and they're doing seesawing back and forth, they don't go anywhere. Sometimes our relationships in church work that way, where we have a hard time working together. But what this co-yoke is doing is we need to get in the yoke together, submitting one to another, and pull together. There's a cause. We're laboring for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's a reason for living. There's a reason we're here. There's an eternity ahead. There may be children to guide and lead. We need to pull together as a church and be yoked together with Christ and with each other. This one is talking about with each other. And really, when we're looking at fellow companions, the whole thing of being able to work together. You know, in America, we like our independence. We don't really treasure things like yokes, where now I'm going maybe at the pace of my brother. And my brother isn't quite as strong, so I have to pull a little bit harder. There's all kinds of situations you can bring into that yoke. But we're to be fellow yoked, co-yoked, fellow laborers, fellow yoke fellows, yoke fellows. Fellow companions. Number 5, fellow servants. Fellow servants. Colossians chapter 4. Verse 7 to 9. Colossians chapter 4, verse 7. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts, with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Fellow servant, this is also co, but any idea what the word is in the definition? Slave. Co-slaves. So now we're in the yoke together. Citizens of Jesus Christ that have taken on the reproach of just coming to the light and exposing everything about ourselves. Co-helpers, yoked together, and now we yield our lives to the point of being slaves to the Lord Jesus Christ. Co-slaves, two slaves in the yoke, servitor or ministrant of the same master. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 20 says, you're bought with a price. You're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirits, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 7:22, for he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise, also he that is called being free is Christ's servant or Christ's slave. Now, are we servants of somebody or are we free people here? We're free people, right? If we're free people and come to Jesus Christ, he says we become his slave. But if we have an earthly master, which we don't even know what that is today, but here in the Bible times, they did have that. If you had a master that was telling you what to do, he said, you're the Lord's freeman. But if you're a free person, then you become the Lord's slave. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God together. So as we come together as slaves for the Lord Jesus Christ, he wants us to be yoke fellows that join together in pulling, caring for each other, being there ministering to each other, helping each other. Number six, fellow soldiers. Fellow soldiers. Philippians chapter 2. We had read this, which I'm only going to do part of it. He was calling Epaphroditus a fellow soldier. Philippians chapter 2, verse 24. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself should come shortly. Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. Fellow soldier. Fellow soldier is a co-campaigner. A co-campaigner. Now, I think we're exposed enough to the politics in our country that we realize what a campaigner is. Someone that is willing to go out and they put themselves forward. They give it everything they have. They're running a campaign for election. Well, that is the picture he gives us here for fellow soldiers. Somebody that is giving themselves into it and they're a soldier. It's not just doing a job. They're with emotion and earnestness and with energy pushing into it. Fellow soldiers in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. We can get exhausted and wore out, and we do sometimes. But that is another reason why we need the co. When one is tired, another one comes and encourages them. Press on, press forward. It's worth it. Whatever you do, don't give up.
And if it gets serious, think about eternity. It's real. We believe in it. But a church of campaigners for the gospel of Jesus Christ and lifting up, this is the way to live. We love the Word of God. We're excited about the Word of God. And one thing sure is that God's Word is true. He's going to go by it. God is not a liar. He's a God of truth. And God is all-knowing. He knows who we are. Fellow soldiers, co-campaigners. It's also an associate in Christian toil. An associate in Christian toil. 1 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, he says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. To be a soldier. Fellow soldiers. There is a need for campaigners in the church. There's a need for us to enlist. If we have enlisted as slaves, then the natural next step is let's be campaigners that press into it and give it all we have. Be there to help each other. And number seven is fellow prisoners. Fellow prisoners, this is a result that can come because of being slaves that are sold out, soldiers that are laboring, being unashamed of the afflictions of Christ. Fellow prisoners, Philemon 23, there saluteth thee Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. And fellow prisoner means co-captive, a co-captive. Romans 16, verse 7. Salute Antronicus and Junia, and my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles who also were in Christ before me. Fellow prisoners, are we willing to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and give it our everything, be co-laborers together, working together and giving it our all for the gospel of Jesus Christ, to the point that we become prisoners? We have religious freedom right now. We have religious freedom. What are we willing to sacrifice in order to not suffer or not be imprisoned? What are we willing to sacrifice? There are things that aren't real popular in our nation today. And if you say them, there's things we believe strongly that it's called hate speech. And we say, well, it's what the Bible teaches. And if we love people, we share it with them because the eternity is on the line. Well, it's not viewed that way today. Fellow prisoners. So in conclusion, I'd like to go back to Colossians chapter 4 and read down through from 7 to verse 13. Colossians chapter 4, starting in verse 7.
We had we have read portions of this, but now we're putting it all together. Colossians 4:7, all my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who also is my beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. And here again you have this thing happening of co-flowing from one to the next. And he's sending Tychicus that he can know. And he's sending him with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother who is one of you. They shall make known unto you all the things that are done here. Then he talks about Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you. And Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom ye receive commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. He's a fellow companion. And Jesus, which is called Justus, who is the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers in the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you and for them at Laodicea and in Hierapolis. Co-companions, co-companions, fellow companions, fellow companions that are laboring together. And we even see earnestness here. Zeal, soldiers, slaves to Jesus Christ, yielded to pull together as yoke fellows, co together. And I have an account here that I found on relationships. Relationships. This is from a medical doctor, Dr. Bernie Siegel. Single men are jailed more often, earn less, have more illness, and die at a younger age than married men. And he's saying that off of statistics. Statistics. Single men are jailed more often, earn less, have more illnesses, die at a younger age than married men. It has to do with companionship. Married men with cancer live 20% longer than single men with the same cancer. Here's an interesting one. Women who often have more close relationships, friendships than men survive longer with the same cancers. Married or not, relationships keep us alive. Relationships keep us alive. Then we think about the church. Relationships keep us alive, don't they? As we look at co-companions as a church, and if our relationships in the church are flourishing and doing well, we thrive spiritually. We thrive spiritually. And when it comes to being able to be alive and go forward, what's happening here in this fellow companion thing has so much to do with where we are in our spiritual strength and vitality as a church. Relationships keep us alive. If I am this really spiritual person that doesn't blend well with other Christians, you know, I'm not in a good place. I'm not in a good place. But if I blend my heart together and become a citizen of the saints through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Fellow companions, we're co-yoked with our brothers. We can have the blessing of life. And I'm not going to say that all people that don't get along in church go to hell. But oh, we're on a treacherous path. We're on a treacherous path. It's dangerous. It's dangerous. And we want to be joined together with a living church and local body. A living church and local body. Not wanting to advocate that it's just about being a part of a group of people. And even though statistics would show when someone is a part of a club or something like that, it actually helps them. Isn't that interesting? It actually helps them. It's not for the right cause, but we are made as people to band together and to be apart and to belong and to invest and put ourselves into it. And if we do that as a body of believers, as a church, God's blessing and grace can be upon our hearts. May the Lord bless you, give you strength, give us courage to press on, press forwards. Let's keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe I'll just share one of the things I have found for myself. We hit those heavy hours, just get alone with God. Just spend some time talking to the Lord. Some of the deepest valleys can be the most treasured. I have a few spots in my life that come flooding right back to my memory where I get alone with God. Tell Him how deeply I'm struggling. There's been times I'm like, Lord, I'm not fit to go talk to anybody. I'm struggling. I need help. And just stay there till you find the peace of God flooding your heart. But then we know there's no way that I can go do anything well on my own. It's only by the grace and the power of God. And sometimes we go do hard things. It's like, Lord, I can't go unless you go with me. Because if I do it, it's going to be a mess. Let's find refuge in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our strong and high tower. God bless you all.